69, and we will sing Thine is the Glory. Please stand in body or in spirit.
Standing and turn to number 273 in the same hymnal, Low in the Grave He Lay.
Thank you.
And in the same hymnal, number 400, Santo, Santo, Santo. We'll start in Spanish, keep going in Spanish, and then when we come back to the beginning, it will be in English. And please turn in the back of your blue folder to number 9, in the back section of the blue folder, number 9.
Thank you. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain and hath redeemed us to God by his own blood, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Welcome in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ this Easter morning to Prairie Street Mennonite Church. We welcome visitors, regular attenders, family members, and those who will listen later to recordings. Today we join with all the saints in all times and places, the followers of Jesus throughout the world, to proclaim that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Amen. So also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Alleluia. Please stand if you are able, and in your blue hymnal, turn to number 283. We will call each other to worship this morning with this response. We will praise and exalt you forever. We will praise and exalt you forever. Glory to you, Lord God of our ancestors. We will praise and exalt you forever. Glory to you for the radiance of your holy name. We will praise and exalt you forever. Glory to you in the splendor of your temple. We will praise and exalt you forever. Glory to you seated between the cherubim. We will praise you and exalt you forever. Glory to you beholding the depths. We will praise and exalt you forever. Glory to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We will praise and exalt you forever. Let us pray. Creator of the universe, you made the world in beauty and restore all things in glory through the victory of Jesus Christ. We pray that wherever your image is still disfigured by poverty, sickness, selfishness, war, and greed, the new creation in Jesus Christ may appear in justice, love, and peace, to the glory of your name. Amen. In your blue hymnal, please turn to number 280. And please stand if you are able.
Turn in your purple songbook, Sing the Story, the purple songbook, to number 90. We're going to sing a verse in Spanish, and then in English, and then in Spanish.
Thank you.
On this Easter morning, we confess our faith. Please turn in your blue hymnal to 714. 714. This is a responsive confession of our faith, and we'll kind of divide along the middle here. So on the piano side, you'll sing the regular, you'll speak the regular words, and on the banner side, the bold print. He was the Son of God. He was the Son of Man. He came down from heaven. He was born in a stable. Kings came to his cradle. His first home was a cave. He was born to be a king. He was a child of Mary. He was the greatest among rulers. He was the least among servants. He was loved and honored. He was despised and rejected. He was gentle and loving. He made many enemies. He counseled perfection. He was a friend of sinners. He was a joyful companion. He was a man of sorrows. He said, rejoice. He said, repent. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Don't be anxious. Count the cost. Deny yourself. Ask and receive. In him was life. He died on a cross. He was a historic person. He lives today. He was Jesus of Nazareth. He is Christ the Lord. Sisters and brothers, if you are able, please stand to hear these words of assurance. Because of God's great love for you and God's rich mercy for all, you are fully forgiven. True peace and true reconciliation are not only desired, they are assured and guaranteed in Christ. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also.
Let us greet each other with a sign of Christ's peace. The children are invited to come forward. And adults, if you did not see on the way in this beautiful Easter garden, this Easter garden was at the table as you came in, and it will be there as you leave the service today. This is something that Janice Wiebe Olenberger has made for us. I've been looking forward to it for weeks. Make sure that you get to look at it too at the end of the service. Halle, halle, halle.
Good morning, everyone. We're going to pass this basket around, and if you have some money, you can put it in it, or you can pass it on by to the next person. We're giving our offerings of money and time and love for people who need it. A little higher. Is that better?
No.
Okay. How about that?
Okay.
Oh, like talk into it. Let's try. That would be helpful.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Today we have an amazing story that we get to hear and I get to tell. And it starts with that cross that's on the front there. You ever wondered why we have that big cross in the middle of our church? It's to remind us of this story. And it's a story that's so important that there are four books there are four books in the New Testament that tell this story. They all tell it a little differently, but it's all in these, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the reason that the cross is there is in order to remind us of this story, which I said already, sorry. When Jesus was alive and living here on the earth, the Romans were in charge of the country where he lived. And when the Romans didn't like things that a person did or the person did something wrong, they would kill him. And the way they would kill that person was to make a cross like that and lay it on the ground. They would put nails through the people's hands and feet to hold them onto the cross. And they'd lift the cross up and the person hang there until they died. It was very gruesome, very gruesome. But when Jesus was living, he did and said things that were just pretty amazing. What he did was to heal people on the wrong day of the week, and he said things that the people in charge didn't like, and what he said was, you need to love everyone no matter what. And the people in charge didn't like what he had said and what he had done. And so they decided that they were going to kill Jesus. And so they arrested Jesus and they put him on a cross and was killed. So it was a very dark and sad day when that happened. Now, after Jesus was dead, a very good friend of Jesus named Joseph came and took the body down, put Jesus wrapped in cloths in a cave like this, something that was carved in the stone. And they put this big rock in front of the cave so nothing could happen to the body. It was a way of protecting the body from somebody stealing it or from animals to get in. Now, this happened on Friday. And on Sunday morning, 3 days later, Mary Magdalene and another Mary were walking to the tomb, the cave. And what they wanted to do was to put spices on Jesus' body. It was a very special thing for them to do. But as they were walking, they were trying to figure out what they were going to do to get the big stone out of the way. It was too big for the two of them to move it. So they hadn't figured out quite what they were going to do. Let's tuck them in there. But suddenly, as they got close, there was a big earthquake because an angel from God, from heaven, rolled the stone away. Well, you can imagine how terribly scared these two women must have been. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus, but he isn't here. Jesus isn't dead. Jesus is alive. Look, you can see inside the tomb, inside the cave. There's no body there. Do you want to peek in and see what you see? It's empty, isn't it? And everybody, if you've seen, can you scoot around so somebody else can look too? It is. You have to pretend that it's a cave. Yeah. So, of course, the two Marys really wanted to find out too what was in the cave. So they looked in, and just like you, they saw it was empty. Jesus was alive. Jesus wasn't dead anymore. Jesus was alive. The angel said, go tell Jesus' disciples, Jesus' good friends, so they will know too that Jesus is alive. And also tell them that Jesus is going to Galilee, and you can see him when you go to Galilee. So they were so happy. They raced back across the garden to where the disciples and friends were. Now, let's look back up at the cross. It's empty too, isn't it? Jesus isn't there anymore. The cross is empty too. And that helps us know and reminds us that Jesus is alive. Jesus is not dead. Death did not win, but God won. Jesus is alive, and Jesus loves each of you and everyone, no matter what. So let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for this special story. Thank you for Jesus and that Jesus is alive. Thank you for loving us so much. Loving us so much, there's no thing that we can do that will keep us from your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Now you can go back to your seats.
Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 11 to 18. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him."
La escritura de hoy, Juan 20, 11, 18. Pero María estaba fuera llorando junto al sepulcro, y mientras lloraba se inclinó para mirar dentro del sepulcro, y vio a dos ángeles con vestiduras blancas que estaban sentados el uno a la cabecera y el otro a los pies, donde el cuerpo de Jesús había sido puesto, y le dijeron, "Mujer, ¿por qué lloras?" Les dijo, "Porque se han llevado a mi Señor y no sé dónde lo han puesto."
When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?"
Cuando había dicho esto, se volvió y vio a Jesús que estaba allí, mas no sabía que era Jesús. Jesús le dijo, "Mujer, ¿por qué lloras? ¿A quién buscas?"
Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away."
Ella pensando que era el hortelano, le dijo, "Señor, si tú lo has llevado, dime dónde lo has puesto, y yo lo llevaré."
Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'"
Jesús le dijo, "María," volviéndose a ella y le dijo, "Rabboni," que quiere decir maestro. Jesús le dijo, "No me toques, porque aún no he subido a mi Padre. Mas ve a mis hermanos y dile, subo a mi Padre y a vuestro Padre, a mi Dios y a vuestro Dios."
Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her.
Fue entonces María Magdalena para dar a los discípulos las nuevas de que había visto al Señor y que él había dicho estas cosas.
The word of the Lord.
Palabra del Señor.
Gracias a Dios. Our preacher this morning is Pastor Nelson Crable. Please join us in prayer. Lord, send your spirit upon Nelson this morning. May the words he speaks enter our hearts and come into fullness in the coming of your kingdom. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Dear friends, the Lord is risen. Mary Magdalene made her way to the tomb of Jesus early on Sunday morning before dawn. We cannot know her anguish, but we know a bit of her story. She was the disciple from whom Jesus had cast seven demons. There's no reason to imagine that she was a prostitute or a promiscuous woman. She was a wounded woman who was made whole by Jesus. And in a society that did not take seriously the intellectual powers of women, she found in Jesus a man she could call teacher. Mary had at least some financial means. According to Luke chapter 8, she joined with other women to provide funds for Jesus' preaching mission. The men did the public stuff, the women paid the bills. Her life had been changed, and she had reason to hope. The kingdom was coming. The Messiah was here. She had been healed. After the male disciples had all fled in terror on Thursday evening, Mary stayed with Jesus the whole way through the trial, all the way to Calvary, where her teacher died the hardest death one can imagine. What could compare with her trauma? Perhaps the loss of a family member to violence would come close. Perhaps the family and friends of our beloved elder Ross Ringenberg, who died in December at age 34, the same age as Jesus, perhaps they would understand. Perhaps the family and friends of M.J. Sharp of Goshen, who died at the same age a month ago in his peace work in the Congo. Jesus did not simply die. He was executed as a failed peacemaker and a failed Messiah. Was it shame? Was it fear? Early Sunday morning, under cover of darkness, Mary and several other women, made their way to the tomb. Burial practices among first century Jews were a two-stage process. First, the body was wrapped in cloth, and it was carried to a cave or to an underground tunnel where there were kind of shelves carved into the limestone walls. At least it was a large cave. One body would be placed on each shelf. Extended families sometimes owned one large tomb and brought multiple bodies in for burial. And covering the entrance of such a tomb cave, was a large stone to keep out animals and casual visitors. There still are many of these biblical era tombs in Palestine, such as these empty tombs right along a busy road today in Galilee, not far from Nazareth. And then after the initial interment, the family members and others or others close to the deceased periodically rolled back that stone and put spices on the body, made the space more possible for others to enter who might come in with other burials. This happened especially during the first 3 or 4 days because the soul of a person who died could linger at the tomb for up to 3 or 4 days, said the rabbis, after which time the soul returned to God to await resurrection. It was a matter of respect also to visit the body and to make certain that the person in fact had died. The Babylonian Talmud, the record of the rabbinic thought, directs readers to visit a tomb 3 days after burial because, the rabbis said, a live man once got buried and was rescued and lived another 25 years and fathered children. After the body was in the tomb for 1 to 3 years, loved ones went in and recovered the bones and placed them in an ossuary. It was a kind of bone box, about 2 feet long, just long enough for the longest bone of the body. If you were wealthy, you might have a fancy ossuary. These are simple ones, and archaeologists find many of these. This fancy ossuary has on it the name Caiaphas. And it is very possible, I would say probable, this is the bone box of the guy who convened the Sanhedrin on Thursday night to put Jesus on trial. The four Gospels vary in how they describe Sunday morning at the tomb, but they all agree that Mary Magdalene was there. There was just enough light to see that the stone had been rolled back. It was away from the entrance. Grave robbers? A stolen body? Loss of Jesus' body would be the final blow. They killed Jesus and now they stole his body. Have you ever been in so much pain you wanted to die? Mary Magdalene ran back into the city of Jerusalem, less than half a mile away, where followers of Jesus huddled in fear and despair. She ran to Peter, the fisherman who said he would always stay by Jesus' side, and then abandoned him. S.M. Lockridge was an African-American preacher who died in the year 2000. One Holy Week, Reverend Lockridge stepped into the pulpit and said, "It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter's asleeping. Judas is betraying. But Sunday is coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sunday is coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scarlet. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary, his blood dripping, his body stumbling, and his spirit burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning, and evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nail my Savior's hands to the cross. They nail my Savior's feet to the cross, and then they raise him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning, what has happened to our king? And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know. It's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father, left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The earth trembles. The sky grows dark. My king yields his spirit. It's Friday. Hope is lost. Sin has conquered, and Satan's just a laughing. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard, and a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It's only Friday. Sunday's coming. Sisters and brothers, Sunday is here. Mary Magdalene took news of the open tomb back to Jerusalem. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. They have taken our Lord. It's a cry that resounds in our world today as a secular society doubts the very existence of a transcendent God that finds the idea of resurrection absurd. They have taken our Lord. When I sat down to write this sermon, I thought I would put in one array all the reasons I have to believe in the resurrection. But you can't prove the resurrection any more than you can prove that God created this universe. What cannot be denied is that a fabulously complex and beautiful universe exists. It's there for everyone to see, and those with eyes of faith see the hand of God. There is a magnificence to the universe that reflects the hand of a creator. And the closest I can come to proof of the resurrection is the magnificent wave of hope and healing and changed lives that radiated out from that tomb, transforming the world and eventually touching you and me. Mary told disciples in the upper room that the tomb was open. Simon Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved, probably John, raced to the garden with Mary in tow. The second disciple, probably John, won the race but did not enter. You get ritually polluted if you do that. You don't enter unless you have to. Peter bent down to look inside the cave and saw a cloth that had wrapped Jesus' body, rolled up carefully and put up at put at one side, a grave robber would not do that. Then the other disciple went into the tomb and believed. Yes, we are Christians. An elderly man told Ellen and me after giving us directions in a small town in Greece. But we don't believe the exaggerated stuff. I pressed for an example of exaggerated stuff in Christianity, and George named the resurrection. Then Helen and George invited us into their home for a traditional shot of ouzo. There we explained that we are Christians visiting sites related to the early church in Greece. Learning that I'm a minister, George posed a question. How could God punish his son for the sins of humanity? What kind of father would do that? Don't think of it so much as God punishing his son, I said. Think of Jesus as God with us. God was fully present in Jesus, taking on the brokenness of the world, absorbing our sin and suffering, God identifying with us. The cross shows us how much God loves us, not how angry God is. The resurrection shows that God has the power to confront evil and sin and overcome it with forgiveness and love and healing and resurrection. George and Helen seemed drawn to this new gracious image of God and went on to share concerns about their own health and family. Ellen and I offered to pray with them. And when we opened our eyes, they both had their cheeks full of tears. Jesus is present here, I said. This is the resurrection. This is what we mean. The power of God. Jesus is with us. He walks with us in our suffering. George excused himself to go to the next room to regain his composure. Helen went to the kitchen and retrieved two small refrigerator magnet icons. Take these, she said with a smile. 3 months later, Christmas greetings arrived at our home from Greece, addressed to Father Nelson. George and Helen wrote, "We wish and hope you a merry, merry Christmas. Pray, Lord, for us as once you did in our little house in Milos." A letter we wrote right after my heart surgery in January of 16 prompted a 3-page epistle in return. "I can feel it was a serious long vicissitude," George wrote of my operation, "and obviously very painful for your intimates. For this we pray Saint Judas the Theudas." He was stepbrother of Jesus. George was referring to Jude, one of the 12, also known as Thaddeus. I looked up Saint Jude on the web and says Jude is patron of desperate situations, forgotten causes, hospitals, impossible causes, and lost causes. Well, George promised to send us an icon of St. Jude, which indeed arrived 6 weeks later, hangs by our fireplace. "We promise to tell him always about you and pray," George said. George and Helen's prayers were answered. I have been healed. Thanks be to God. The Lord is risen. Mary was caught in limbo at the tomb. She stood weeping outside bewildered, afraid, alone after others left. Then she looked into the tomb. Her example invites us to do the same, to look into the tomb. Mary saw messengers from God clothed in white who asked, "Why are you weeping?" "They have taken my Lord," she said. And then she turned to leave, and there was Jesus. Supposing him to be the gardener, she asked if he had taken the body. "Mary," he said, "Mary." It was a familiar voice, and she fell at his feet. "Don't stay here holding on to me," he said. "Go tell the other disciples. Go tell the good news. I live." Mary, the first witness to the resurrection, Mary, the first apostle, raced back to the upper room to say, "I have seen the Lord." God, open our ears to hear the voice of Jesus call our name. God, open our eyes to see the presence of the risen Christ in our lives, in our world. Amen.
Please take your blue hymnal worship books. Turn to number 275, and I invite you to join in the resurrection by being raised, if you are able in body or in spirit.